Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to It Could Happen Here, once again, hosted by myself, Andrew, as, you know, we talk about whatever. We've entered a new year, so, you know, Happy New Year, by the way, James, I don't think I told you.
Oh yeah, Happy New Year, Andrew.
Yeah, the whatever in question this time is carrying over from some of the discussions we had in the previous year, because, you know, time moves forward, and with time moving forward, how pertinent, it becomes increasingly necessary, very, very necessary, to interrogate and to uproot a lot of the classical capitalist ideas embedded in our world. An ideology, for example, that just won't die, that idea of development. Despite as many critics over the past few decades, despite the colonizing and post-colonial nations, people of those nations, you know, rallying against such projects of development due to the harms they've caused socially, environmentally, and otherwise, this ideology, this idea of development just won't die. But here we are, 2023. And I think at least here in this podcast, among the audience of this podcast, we can agree that the time has come for some kind of alternative. Maybe some kind of alternative can happen here. You know, a different view, a new path beyond what we currently have. Enter stage right, Buen Vivir. Are you familiar with the concept?
I'm not actually, no. Be fun to learn about it.
All right, well, fantastic. So you could ask anything, any questions you have about it as I go along. So a lot of the early concepts related to this idea of Buen Vivir arose in reaction to the classical economic development strategies that have ripped through communities and their environments. I'm talking, of course, about acts of enclosure, privatization, neoliberalization, economic imperialisms, and so forth. Capitalism in its element, basically. Government projects that line the pockets of politicians and bureaucrats. Development banks, quote-unquote, that really never seem to fund the people directly. Buen Vivir draws from this heritage, a heritage of indigenous communities, particularly in South America. In some cultures, they have no concepts analogous to the modern Western capitalist concept of development. Of course, modern is in quotes. There is no concept of a linear life, a linear time even, with a former and subsequent state. And so the idea of underdevelopment and development of primitive and advanced just does not mesh with that ontology, nor these concepts of wealth and poverty, nor are there necessarily concepts of wealth and poverty as we understand them, based on the accumulation or lack of material good. I've said Buen Vivir probably a dozen times by now. The question is, what is Buen Vivir? In Latin America, the concept of Buen Vivir, or good life, or good living, provides new alternatives to development. And to be very honest with you, I feel like it's something that we should have been working on for a really long time. You know, like me personally, I don't know about you, James, but I don't really care about GDP growth or increasing return on investment. You know, I care about living a good life. Yeah. I care about buen vivir. And so I think the name of the philosophy itself and the name of the concept itself automatically gets you to ask the question, what is a good life? And the answer, the beauty of the answer is that you decide that. I decide that. We decide that. Our communities decide that collaboratively. The good life is not some sort of policy proposal or government project or development initiative or imposition. The good life is a pluralistic concept. It's buenos convivires. It's a different ways of living well together. It's not a single homogenous or unrealizable good life. It's not like this single homogenous pursuit of profit that our entire system is built around now. Now, the good life, buen vivir, is more about people living well together in a community, and different communities living well together, and individuals and communities living well with nature. And if these concepts sound familiar, it's because, you know, you must have heard it from other places. It's a trend that we are starting to see around the world in this 21st century. And even prior to then, and these ideas are slowly gaining more and more steam as time goes on. You know, the idea is present in social ecology. The idea is present in various animist ontologies. And they're really being brought to the forefront in this time because we need them now more than ever. Despite efforts of Western forces primarily to erase and to redact and to confine these ideas and these concepts to the realm of irrelevance or backwardsness or superstition, they endure in sometimes new forms, as with buen vivir. Buen vivir is about quality of life, but also more so the idea that quality of life, our well-being as individuals, is only possible within a community. A community which, as I mentioned, includes the flora and fauna that surround us. And there are many ways that can be interpreted, which is the real beauty of it. So as a concept, you can kind of look at buen vivir. It's a two-word phrase, and it's also a double barrel of a concept. It's a two-for-one package of both criticism of the classical Western capitalist notion of development and an alternative to that Eurocentric tradition, but out of indigenous traditions, plural. And so that two-for-one package within that, and you could really unpack that package and see that, you know, you see the idea of the same sort of basis that degrowth is getting its critique from, the same sort of ideas being shared. And in terms of alternatives, when you look into buen vivir, you sort of see the anarchic bent that has become ever more present in new political imaginations over the past few years, or at least it feels that way to me, that that sort of community-oriented, autonomy-oriented, liberatory, decolonial-oriented mindset is becoming more and more prevalent. Of course, that could be, you know, my own internet biases and algorithms presenting me what I want to see, but I would like to think that more and more people are exploring these ideas.
Yeah, it is hard to say, isn't it? Because I feel the same way. Like, am I seeing what I want to see?
Or, yeah, it's like, oh, there are these new institutes and initiatives and programs and movements. It's so amazing. All these things are developing. And then, like, you talk to somebody who is not, like, in this sphere and they haven't heard of any of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Yeah, they still think anarchism means, like, I don't know, throwing a brick through a window. And, like, that is the whole ideology. Yeah, I don't know. We can hope.
We can hope. I would like to think it's getting more prominence, but we can only hope. Yeah. It's not like anarchists are too keen on, you know, necessarily submitting to an anarchism census, a global anarchism census of some kind. But I would like to think that anarchic ideas, in all the exploration that I've done of various parts of the world, however, you know, shallow my exploration has been so far. I see, it could be my anarchist tinted glasses seeing anarchic principles and everything, but I see it in certain practices, in certain ideologies, in certain ideas and, you know, ways of living. And I think when revere is a sort of a recognition of that in one sense. And so there is no single buen vivir, right? There is no single good life. You know, I might want, for example, my buen vivir might look like sailing the Caribbean Sea, you know, touching down in various islands and exploring the ecology therein. Or my good life might look like a more settled sort of homestead existence, or sort of a fusion of urban and rural living. Sort of a good ending for the suburbs, where you're able to live in a walkable sort of environment and community that is both not too far from, you know, the goings on of human social interaction, but also very much rooted and connected with what's happening in the natural world. But I mean, what might your good life, your buen vivir, look like, James?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I think, you know, I grew up in the countryside, so it's like the idea of living in a rural area and still having community and having like that, being close to nature and still also being close to people who I care about and being able to look after each other. I think it's interesting how often, like, at least the sort of settler colonial concept of rural life, or the construct of rural life, I guess, in America is like, oh, rugged individualism and being on your own, when in fact, like, living in the countryside, people have to look after one another.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We maintain this kind of this false idea that it's you against the elements, and, you know, crushing nature and subjecting it to your will and all this stuff.
Yeah. And I think there's something interesting about, at least the people I've spoken to in various circles and stuff. When I ask them, you know, what is your ideal life? What is your good life? I don't necessarily say buen vivir. I just ask them, you know, what do you want? And you dig into it, you ask them a couple of prodding questions. And people, despite buen vivir being a pluralistic concept, people tend to generally want similar things. And so it sort of begs the question, like, why are we in this situation in the first place? You know, because like everyone says, yeah, oh, well, you know, I want like an involved community, and I want like, I want to be able to like grow my plants, and I also want to be able to do my art and, you know, enjoy my time with people and do a bit of travel and not work my whole life and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
People, of course, phrase it and frame it in certain ways. And so that's why I ask the probing questions. Because someone might initially say, oh, well, I want to retire early. And when you really dig into what that means, it's like, I don't want to spend my whole life working. You know? Or they might say something like, you know, I wanna travel a lot. So I want to like start a business. When you ask them what kind of business they want to start, why they want to start a business, it really comes down to, I want autonomy. I want flexibility in my labor. I want control of my own labor, kind of thing. Like, yes, yeah, of course, there are people who have the quote-unquote entrepreneurial spirit who want to just be at the top of the food chain. But then I think most of the entrepreneurs, the quote-unquote entrepreneurs that I've met, have been people who just like, oh, well, you know, I started selling candles because I really like making candles and I want to share them with people, and I also need to make a living and I'm just passionate about it or whatever. That kind of thing. It's not that they necessarily want to grow it or whatever. They just want to be able to sustain themselves doing something that they enjoy.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're always sold like every new advance in technology and in production that comes along, like these concepts that you're talking about, like working less, having community, all these things are like always sold as what that's going to do, right? Like, but instead we end up working more or the same amount and instead just generating more income for a certain group of people. Like we don't get any of these good things. But yeah, there's always a carrot in whatever this kind of neoliberal capitalism that we have is, but we never get there.
Exactly. That's the tragedy of it.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another aspect of, you know, the idea of the good life is that it's not a static concept, right? It's not like we come up with this good life, this end of the year, we want for ourselves now, we etch it into stone tablets and piously adhere to them forever, like the Ten Commandments. Like, nah. You know, the good life is supposed to be flexible. End of the year is about responding to your conditions, the conditions of your community, your ecology, etc., and really redefining what it means to live a good life continuously, you know, in response to changing circumstances, because, you know, change is life. Of course, nor is this idea of the good life a quote-unquote backward concept. It's a problematic framing in and of itself, but sometimes you have to use problematic shortcuts to communicate effectively. But the idea of one reviewer is not like an invitation to return to some idyllic past or idyllic non-past, you know, like non-existent world that people have sort of mentally constructed, as in the case of a lot of these romanticizations you see on social media. Buen Vivir is not like some kind of religion with its own rules and functions, but it's not imposing that you must become a homesteader or a forager or you must live in a rural community to live a good life. There's more possibilities yet unrealized, and it should be something that is It should be considered something that is undergoing a constant construction and reproduction process. And that's, I think, where the global potential of Buen Vivir lies. You know, that's where I think there's viral potential for it. I mean, of course, when you look at a lot of the things that end up dominating the social media news cycle, it's a lot of negativity. Dominating current discourse right now, I think, is the topic of masculinity and particularly the prevalence of Andrew Tate, and you know, you also have the constantly bubbling under the surface existence of incels. and then you go on TikTok. I don't know if you go on TikTok, James.
I don't. That's the point at which I decided I'd become old. I was just like, I can't do this shit anymore.
Yeah. I should have made that decision, but I mean, I kind of like TikTok because I don't know how other people are curating their For You pages, but my For You page is a place I enjoy being at a bit too much, which is why I have like limits on my phone to prevent me from staying on TikTok for too long. But Yeah, it's a place that I enjoy. And you see a lot of trends come and go on TikTok. Right now, the big thing is like niche talk and core, which I know is probably Greek to you.
Yes.
But in that general vein, if you were to see what those trends were, I think you'd get a sense of what I'm talking about. Niche talk and core. And then it's also, there seems to be an attempt to rebrand the idea of Sigma. And the Sigma male, it started off as a very, you know, patriarchal thing. And then I've seen a couple different creators who did it in sort of an ironic or a post-ironic sense, as a sort of a meme, because it became a meme to make fun of people who take it seriously. And then from that sort of memification of it, people started to reclaim the term. And then it became a sort of, you see like a video where a guy does something polite or something, you know, chivalrous, something kind. And then the comments are like, typical Sigma W, true Sigma. This is what true Sigma looks like, kind of thing. So I think it's just a natural aspect of the fluidity of the internet, the fickleness of the internet. Because I'm sure there's still the heavily misogynistic Sigma people. They still exist. But then there's also people who memed themselves into a brand of Sigma that's a kind of a weird pseudo positive masculinity. It's kind of interesting. I'll continue to do my TikTok anthropological research and you know, discuss my findings as this situation develops. But in that vein of unification and those sort of developments, I think there is a potential for Buen Vivir to become a global phenomenon, to have that global potential, to have a global reach, because. And then there's something in it for the people. There's also an anti-work current present in a lot of TikTok trends. So, you know, it's something to...
Yeah.
And cool. Again, I see there's an anti-work current in a lot of TikTok trends, but those are the TikTok trends I'm being presented with. The post-ironic rebrandification or whatever of Sigma is something my For You page has given me. It's not necessarily reflective of the entirety of reality, and that's the scary part of the internet, right? Like, you're not seeing the full reality, you're seeing an algorithmically produced version, skewed version of reality.
Yeah. It's interesting to me how like most people I encounter on a daily basis will not know what or where Myanmar is. And like, if I look at my Twitter page right now, it's just all, like half of it is in Burmese, you know, and it's lots of people I follow, and that's like my reality. But yeah, but I sort of, then I get really frustrated when people don't have a clue what's going on there.
Exactly. It's kind of tricky because you really, in times like these, you really get a sense of how, you know, in moments like those where you confront that in real life, it's like, okay, so like my perception of reality is like slightly skewed by the internet, you know?
Yeah.
In ways that I am aware and not aware of, in ways that other people are aware and not aware of. So it's interesting. But back to Buen Vivir, right?
Yeah.
Buen Vivir, I think, is also like a path for decolonization, you know, sort of a way to let go of a lot of the Western norms and impositions on speech and dress and labor and lifestyle and knowledge and social norms and relationships, etc., and adopting ways of life that account for our cultures and conditions free of those mental binds. I think that is the power of Buen Vivir.
Yeah.
So I guess another question arises. Who or where or when did Buen Vivir come from? And so the radical questioning that birthed Buen Vivir was made possible within several indigenous traditions in South America, which, as I said earlier, culturally lacked certain concepts of development or progress. And so the contribution of indigenous knowledge to Buen Vivir continues to be the sort of critical thread. The associated values and experiences and practices and worldviews of Buen Vivir already existed in some form before the arrival of European conquistadors, but they were, over the process of colonization, silenced and marginalized and even openly opposed. Buen Vivir is part of a long legacy, a long quest, a long pursuit of alternative lifestyles, forged from the passionate battles of indigenous peoples and nations seeking new ways of life, seeking freedom from the Latin American, the quintessential Latin American oligarchical nation state, which is, of course, rooted in colonialism and neoliberalism. And so we are seeing through Benvivir, within Benvivir, outside of Benvivir, adjacent to Benvivir, utopias in the making, the imagination, the imagining of utopias of the Andes and of the Amazon that are shaping discourse, that are shaping political projects, that are shaping social and cultural and economic practice. The good life, Buenavir, is not something that is unique to Latin America, of course. It has been practiced in many different epochs and regions of this earth. It's been known by many different names. The concept has been known by many different names. In Ecuador, it's known as Suma Kawase, which is a Quechua wording for a fullness of life and community together with other persons and nature. In Bolivia, the Aymara concept for it is called Suma Camana. In the Mapuche in Chile, in Guarani in Paraguay, in the Kuna in Panama, the Shuar in Arqua in Ecuadorian and Amazon, the Maya in Guatemala and Chiapas, Mexico, and of course the African term, Ubuntu.
Yeah.
And the Indian concept of Swaraj. They're all these sorts of threads of what a good life and community, radical ecological democracy and community, all of these sort of concepts are sort of threaded within developing different in different forms, in different contexts. However, the concept has also been adopted in some sense by certain states, most notably Bolivia and Ecuador. Recently, Bolivia, you know, rewrote its constitution, establishing itself as a plurinational state. And they've taken the term, they call it Vivir Bien. They're trying to basically propose an economic model that accommodates various diverse cultural origins. In Ecuador, the conceptual framework is a bit different. They take Buenavir and they use it as a sort of a, they describe it as a set of rights, rights to shelter, to health, to education, to food, to the environment. So it's less of an ethical principle, more of a complex set of rights that are also found in Western traditions, but also include, you know, the right to freedom, participation, to communities, to protection, and to nature. Part of that recognition of the right to nature and the fundamental right to water has led to the banning of any form of privatization of water, and also the promotion of leaving crude oil in Ecuadorian Amazon below the ground. However, I feel like I need to point out that I don't believe the state is compatible with the essence of Buenavir, with the practice of Buenavir. And so the use of those concepts in state propaganda, in state rebranding efforts, are not necessarily encouraging to me. They don't necessarily make such states the paragons that they would paint themselves to be, because to me, Buenavir can only really be a grassroots concept. So I think we must be, you know, careful of falling into that trap of accepting, you know, state propaganda on the good life, you know, compromising the concept and allowing it to be co-opted or watered down.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side. iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app, Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor,
as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As I previously noted, I think there's a major overlap between the concept of degrowth and the idea of buen vivir. I mean, both agree that one of the fundamental problems is, you know, this idea, this constant commercialization of societal fabric and of nature, of, you know, this criticism of capitalism, this criticism of the way that progress, development, and economic growth are understood and implemented. And so they sort of complement each other, right? Because I think a criticism people have of degrowth is that it's this destructive thing, it's this negative thing, it's negative framing. And so in a sense, buen vivir and degrowth can sort of be coupled. Degrowth as the quote-unquote missile word, destructive, while buen vivir is, you know, presenting a constructive alternative. As, you know, we attempt to progress, to move away from capitalism, to transition to new systems, there's a lot to learn. We have a lot we can learn from various non-capitalist practices around the world. And I think buen vivir is a concept that really tries to look at the ways that we have harmoniously coexisted as humans in our environment, and the ways that, you know, the good life can be combined with degrowth efforts. There's also a measure of fluidity present in buen vivir. That seeks balance socially, ecologically, politically, economically, and encompasses within that balance people, plants, and animals. Does not separate nature from society as found in classical Western dualism. And that sort of perspective is necessary if we were to move beyond the exploitation of nature for the purpose of accumulating capital that has really placed us in this mess. And even in that, in recognizing that we need to move beyond the exploitation of nature, baked into that, because we are part of nature, is a recognition that we need to stop exploiting humans. That we need to recognize human beings as part of a community, that we are not just atomized individuals, that we are in communities, that we must be part of communities, that our communities, the people within them, and the lands we are part of must cooperate in harmony. I think there's a challenge to buen vivir. Of course, buen vivir is not restricted to the countryside, but it did originate there. I think the challenge for buen vivir is to confront today's urban spaces where much of humanity's population lives. To find ways to deal with the environment respectfully and with solidarity in an urban setting, to conceptualize a good life for and in cities. We can't exactly expect everybody to move to the countryside, nor should everybody. And so we need to find ways that city life, urbanized life, can be reconstructed. And so one potential sort of way that has manifested is through the transition towns movement, which you can look more into if that's something that interests you, where people are basically attempting to take control of their communities in order to survive the challenge that is climate change. and to create, you know, sustainable economies and ecologies wherever they find themselves. Movements can be found in many different countries. You know, you might even find it in your area, in your country. Look it up. It has a lot in common with the concept of Buen Vivir. Like I said, like I feel that there's so many different movements and ideas and philosophies, you know, sort of with the same ideas that seem to be, feel like they're on the rise. Ultimately, I believe Buen Vivir is highly subversive. I believe it looks not to return to the past or to, you know, get caught up in any kind of strict rules or impositions. It seeks a good life. It seeks to oppose colonialism and its consequences, to encourage new, more sustainable ways of living, drawn from old examples and models, and to really create a horizontal society, to create a cooperative society, to develop self-management instead of new forms of top-down governance, one that rejects both the market and the state as solutions to our issues and looks to ourselves. One that rejects the market and the state as potential solutions and looks to ourselves. The idea of development is an almost zombie category, as some writers have described it. It's supposed to be dead, and yet it lives. And so Buen Vivir provides us an opportunity to move away from development and look towards Buen Vivir. It recognizes that while we may never create a perfect life, we can create a good life. That's it.
Thanks. Yeah, that was really interesting. I like that.
You can find me on YouTube at Andrewism, on twitter.com/_St. Drew. And if you're so inclined, you can support me on patreon.com/St. Drew. This has been Andrew at It Could Happen Here with James, signing off.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.